We'll resume proceedings in the spring users cases. Who's the next witness?
The groundwater users would call Kenneth Dunn.
Please raise your right hand. You do solemnly swear that the testimony you'll give in these proceedings will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Morning. Would you state your full name and address for the record?
It's A. Kenneth Dunn, P.O. Box 1414, McCall, Idaho.
Mr. Dunn, you pre-filed testimony and exhibits in this proceeding?
Yes.
And your testimony consisted of pages 1 through 11?
Yes.
Do you have any corrections to make to your testimony?
No.
Also, attached to your testimony was Exhibit 451, Contract to Implement, pertaining to the Swan Falls Agreement, and we noted during the break that that doesn't appear as an attachment to the copy that's in the file in front of you. And so we will locate a copy if it doesn't show up and make sure that gets attached to your testimony.
Okay.
That was the only exhibit that was attached to your testimony, correct?
Yes.
Mr. Dunn, are you appearing as an independent witness?
Yes, I am.
You were not compensated by the groundwater users?
No, only to the extent of their paying my expenses while I'm here.
So you're here voluntarily?
Yes.
Mr. Dunn, if I were to ask you today the same questions contained in your pre-file testimony, would your answers be the same?
Yes.
With that, we would move to admit the pre-filed direct testimony of A. Kenneth Dunn together with Exhibit 451. We then tender him for cross-examination, and we're prepared to just have him give a brief summary, as we have with other witnesses, of what the purpose of his testimony is.
And this is in the context of your offer of proof on the motion for reconsideration with respect to the Swan Falls agreement issue, is that correct?
Correct.
With that acknowledgement, Your Honor, I don't have any objection. I may have a copy of that, of the contract implement, in my car downstairs. If you'd like for me to go down and see quickly, it'd just take me a minute or two.
If you want to cross-examine him on that.
Well, I may. Yeah, sorry. He may refer to that on cross-examination.
That'd be fine. Why don't we have a copy on the hard drive? Maybe we can get it printed quickly.
Okay.
While we're doing it. Unless you need to start on that right away.
No, I don't.
We'll go get a copy.
I don't know.
It should be just a PDF. He has a printer.
Dan, we've got it.
Oh, okay.
Fast printed.
Okay.
We'll take testimony at this time in the nature of an offer of proof, and as it pertains also to the motion for reconsideration on the issue of the effect of the Swan Falls agreement. Did you wish to have him make just a summary statement?
Just a very brief summary. You stated in page 3 the purpose of your testimony, but for the benefit of others here, would you just give a brief summary of what the purpose of your testimony was, Mr. Dunn? And
the purpose was to explain, as I understand, the 4 items associated with the Swan Falls agreement. The agreement itself, the contract, legislation, and the state water plan.
Thank you.
Mr. Dunn, my name is John Simpson. I'm an attorney that represents Clear Springs Foods, Snake River Farms, in this consolidated case. Good morning, Mr. Dunn. Mr. Dunn, are there any differences between, substantial differences between your direct testimony that you've provided here today in written form and the affidavit that you filed, that you signed and was filed on behalf of IGWA in these proceedings?
No, not significant. There were some date changes, I think, but that's about all.
Just so the only difference is between what was filed in your affidavit and the filing here with respect to your direct testimony is just some corrections on dates and so forth?
I believe that's correct.
Okay. But the substance of your direct testimony you're filing here today is the same as what was filed in your affidavit previously?
That's my recollection.
Now, one of the questions Mr. Budge asked you a few minutes ago was of what you intended when you used the words that you were an independent witness, and you indicated that you were not being compensated. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so that strictly means that all that IGWA has done is to pay your expenses in traveling here?
That's correct. I spend the winter in near Palm Springs, California, and they paid my expenses to come up here.
And other than those expenses associated with travel and lodging and associated expenses, you're receiving no other compensation?
That's correct, I know.
John, while you're hesitating a second, if I can interrupt, Your Honor, we have the copy that was missing from the testimony that would be Exhibit 451, and if we could have Carla mark that, we'll add it into the testimony.
Exhibit 451 will be attached as part of the pre-filed testimony.
Thank you. Mr. Dunn, on page 3 of your direct testimony, you indicate that you were employed by the state of Idaho for 20 years, holding various positions.
Yes.
And so that would have been approximately from 1967 to 1987, is that the approximate dates?
That's correct, yes.
And during that time, were you within the agency that is now known as the Department of Water Resources?
Yes.
On page 1 of your testimony, you, the fourth question that is identified there, you identify that the purpose of your testimony was to provide background and explanation relating to the Swan Falls agreement and contract to implement. Are those the two documents that you're providing testimony on within this, in the direct testimony that you provided?
And I mentioned the state water plan.
Okay. So in addition to those documents you identify there, you're also providing testimony with respect to the state water plan?
Yes.
So would it be fair to say that you're not providing testimony here today with respect to any aspect of the Swan Falls litigation that predated the Swan Falls agreement?
That's correct.
On that same question at the bottom of page 3, is it your testimony that you were the principal negotiator for the state of Idaho and or the governor's office?
No. I was a member of a group of people that were negotiating.
On behalf of the governor's office?
The state of Idaho and the governor's office, yes.
So at that time, was there just one team that represented the state of Idaho and the governor's office?
For negotiating the contract, yes. There was Pat Cole and the two Pats. One name escapes me. And in the attorney general's office and the governor's office and then myself.
So when you say the two contracts, are you talking about the contract implement?
What I'm talking about is leading up to the Swan Falls agreement. That is what I was involved in the negotiations.
Okay. And that was essentially one negotiating team acting on behalf of the state and the governor's office.
Governor's office and the attorney general's office.
An attorney general's office acting on behalf of the state?
Yes.
And as a part of that team, did you attend every negotiating session?
No.
How often did you attend?
I don't recall the actual number of times that I attended, but often.
Would it have been whenever there were technical issues involved in the negotiations, for example?
Yes, that would be certainly one of the times I attended.
Would that have been the primary times that you would have been involved, or were you involved when they were discussing matters that were technical in nature?
I was there often, and at this date, I can't recall what was taking place at each meeting.
And I'm not trying to inquire as to what happened at each meeting, for example. That'd be hard to recollect. But just in the context of the purpose for you attending some meetings and not other meetings, was it primarily based upon the fact that there were technical issues being discussed or other matters that were non-technical being discussed as a basis for why you would or wouldn't attend?
As I can think of, often the times I didn't attend is I had a conflict in my schedule and couldn't attend. I had other items that I had to take care of as director.
Who else was on the state negotiating team?
Pat Cole from the Attorney General's office and Pat Costello, the Office of the Governor. Those are the names I remember.
With respect to the other parties negotiating the Swan Falls Agreement, could you identify them, those parties, and who represented those parties?
I don't remember exactly who they were.
Would one of those parties have been Idaho Power Company?
Oh, yes. Excuse me. As far as companies, Idaho Power Company was certainly involved in it.
Okay. And who on behalf of Idaho Power Company represented them?
The president, Jim Bruce, was there occasionally. I believe John Rosal of your firm. I just don't remember the other names.
At As you sit here today, do you recall other individuals who attended those meetings?
No, I don't. There were a lot of meetings, and individuals would come and go. We had a series of technical meetings, and at this point, they tend to blur together in my memory. I can't sort them out.
To the best of your recollection, Mr. Dunn, were the items identified in the contract to implement, have they been completed and incorporated?
To the best of my knowledge, they have, yes.
Mr. Dunn, are you aware of the Supreme Court case Musser v. Higginson?
I'm not aware of it by that name. I might be aware if I knew
are
what
you
it was about.
Are you aware of the Musser case that came about in 92 to 94 time frame that involved Higman water users and a call that was made by a spring user and the subsequent action that resulted in the Supreme Court case?
No, that was after I had left the department.
Okay. And it's your opinion that the Swan Falls Agreement settled the issue on how to administer groundwater and surface water in the Eastern Snake Plain?
Yes.
Is it right?
Yes.
And if there was a later court decision that contradicted that opinion that you've just expressed, would it be your opinion that court decision is inconsistent with the Swan Falls Agreement?
Objection, beyond the scope of direct confidence.
You may answer.
I have no idea. I don't know anything about the lawsuit.
But the concept that you're proposing, the opinion you're proposing, is one that Swan Falls addressed the issue of how surface and groundwater would be administered going forward on this Eastern Snake Plain, correct?
Correct.
And so if there was a subsequent court decision which addressed how ground and surface water was to be administered and what the various obligations were and the duties of the department, would it be your opinion, your belief as you sit here today, that court decision should be followed?
I have no opinion on that. It's beyond my authority. After I left the department in 1987, I had no idea how the director might rule on it.
Okay. You were director of the Department of Water Resources during your tenure with the department, were you not?
During part of it, yes.
And if there was a court decision that came down during your tenure and you were the director, would you follow that court decision?
Would certainly look at it to see how it fit into the distribution that I would be responsible to carry out.
And would you follow the directive from the court decision?
Yes, whatever it said.
Are you aware that that the department, through rulemaking, established the, what we call the conjunctive management rules?
I'm aware of that, yes.
And have you, at some point since those rules were established, had an opportunity to review those rules or discuss those rules in any form?
No.
Likewise, if you were, if during the tenure of your position as director of the Department of Water Resources had the occasion to implement rulemaking and create rules for the administration of ground and surface water or other appropriations of water, would you do your best under your duty as the director to follow those rules?
Yes, I mean, you pose a hypothetical question, I'd give a hypothetical yes. I don't know.
As a result of the Swan Falls agreement, were water rights that were subject, we'll strike that. You indicated in your testimony that the negotiations for the Swan Falls agreement were undertaken by the major parties. Do you recall that testimony?
Yes.
Okay. Could you identify the major parties?
Idaho Power Company, State of Idaho.
And to the best of your recollection, do you know whether those parties had, who those parties had the authority to act on behalf of?
Idaho Power Company, on behalf of the company, and the state of Idaho, on behalf of all water users in the state of Idaho.
And where is that authority addressed, that the state had the authority to act on behalf of all water users in the Swan Falls negotiation?
The state has the authority and is required to administer all the water rights, all the water use of, in the state of Idaho. The governor, as the executive officer of the state of Idaho, can negotiate for the state of Idaho. And so they negotiated the Swan Falls Agreement and had items of it then ratified by the legislature.
Mr. Dunn, I'd like you to turn now to Exhibit 437. See if I can find it in that barrage of notebooks that we got in front of you. Take a moment, if you would, and review Exhibit 437. Do you recognize Exhibit 437, Mr. Dunn?
Yes.
And could you describe it for us?
This is an agreement that was negotiated by the governor, the attorney general, and Idaho Power Company to settle the Swan Falls controversy.
And Exhibit 430 is signed by whom?
Governor Kemp.
Governor Evans, Attorney General Jim Jones, and Jim Bruce, the Chairman of the Board of Idaho Power Company.
And could you identify in that agreement the provision which you would rely upon in asserting that the state of Idaho was acting on behalf of all water users during those negotiations or in signing that agreement?
I don't know that there is a statement that says that in here.
So would it be your testimony that there's not such a provision in that agreement?
My testimony is I don't know that there is.
Okay. Would you take a moment and look through the agreement and then identify for us whether or not there is?
Sure. Paragraph 11 discusses the status of the state water plan. And the state and the company being Idaho Power Company, agreed that the resolution of the company's water rights would be settled and that the state water plan would provide a sound comprehensive plan for the management of the Snake River watershed. And so they've agreed that essentially the state water plan will set up the policies as to how the water will be managed. The director of the Department of Water Resources from there on would manage and allow appropriations of the waters that were settled by the Swan Falls Agreement.
So is it your testimony that that reference in paragraph 11 of the Swan Falls Agreement to the state water plan means that the state water plan is the document which incorporates the state acting on behalf of all water users and subsequently dealt with the administration between groundwater and surface water on the ESPA?
No, I think you have to differentiate between water users and water. The state has the authority and the responsibility to administer the water of the state of Idaho. And the governor and the attorney general signed the Swan Falls Agreement with Idaho Power Company to allow the administration of part of Idaho Power's rights. And so the state has to do the administration, not individual water users.
Right. The state administers the water through the water rights that are appropriated through the state process.
Yes.
So is it your opinion then that the state, through the revisions to the state water plan, then And in through its regulation of water rights, subordinated the senior water rights to the juniors in terms of the comprehensive management of groundwater and surface water on the ESPA.
I don't understand that.
Well, I believe you're offering the opinion that the state water plan became an implementing document which led to the regulation of water following the Swan Falls Agreement. Is that correct?
I don't believe that's correct.
Then let me start over again. The agreement itself, the Swan Falls Agreement, doesn't specifically identify that the state of Idaho is acting on behalf of all water users of the state of Idaho. Does it not?
That's correct.
And the Swan Falls Agreement also doesn't identify water rights that are subordinated under that agreement other than the hydropower rights of Idaho Power Company, correct?
That's correct.
So the provision then that you're relying upon that identifies how water rights are to be administered on the ESPA as between groundwater and surface water is not the Swan Falls Agreement itself, correct?
That's correct.
One would refer to the state water plan as the basis for your assertion that spring users and spring users, more specifically, the rights, water rights of spring users were subordinated to the Swan Falls minimums.
That's not correct.
Okay. So the Swan Falls minimums do not in any way subordinate the water rights of the spring users?
I'm having a problem with your using subordinate. I don't understand your question when you phrase it that way.
Okay. So the only water rights subordinated, if you will, under the Swan Falls Agreement were the hydropower rights, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So with respect to the administration of groundwater and surface water rights upstream from Swan Falls, was that administration of those rights in any way addressed specifically in the Swan Falls Agreement?
No, they were never changed. Okay. Administration was not changed.
So the Swan Falls Agreement never was intended to change that administration?
No, the administration remained the same as the department would have administered it with or without the Swan Falls Agreement.
So whatever rights the spring users, spring water rights or groundwater rights had prior to Swan Falls existed after the Swan Falls Agreement?
Yes.
Mr. Dunn, based upon your tenure as the director of the Department of Water Resources, Do you believe that the state could regulate the use of water under a water right by preventing that water right holder from protecting their right against junior water right holders?
No.
So once a water right was perfected and a license was issued or a decree was issued for that particular right, that water right holder had the right to protect their use of that water under that water right against all subsequent diverters.
The state had the responsibility to protect the senior water right holder.
And if the state didn't protect that senior water right holder, the water right holder still had the ability to protect that?
Yes.
And otherwise, the senior water right holder was deprived of their property interest, correct?
Yes.
On page 6 of your testimony, Mr. Dunn, you discuss the Idaho State Water Plan. Would you agree with me that the State Water Plan was intended to address unappropriated water?
Yes, but the copy I have doesn't talk about the State Water Plan.
Bottom of page 6.
I think what he was asking for is if you want to ask me about the State Water Plan, can you have a State Water Plan on the front of the look at?
Well, Mr. Dunn,
I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to hand you Idaho Code Section 42-1734A. And under subpart 1, I'm going to ask you to read the first sentence into the record.
So part one, how much of it do you want me to read?
Just the first sentence, please, sir.
The board and shall, subject to legislative approval, progressively formulate, adopt, and implement a comprehensive state water plan for conservation, development, management, and optimum use of all unappropriated water resources and waterways of this state in the public interest.
Mr. Dunn, is that your general understanding of the intent and the scope and powers of the water board with respect to developing state water plans?
Yes.
And during your tenure as director of the Department of Water Resources, that your understanding would have been consistent during that time frame also?
Yes. Yes.
So
I don't know the date of that it was the code was amended, but I'm pretty sure it was.
But it's your understanding that the development of a state water plan is to address how the state would develop and plan for the use of unappropriated water in the state?
Yes.
I And likewise, Mr. Dunn, are you aware that there are a number of administrative rules which provide for comprehensive state water planning, and those rules are entitled the Comprehensive State Water Plan Rules? Do you recall generally that those rules existed at the time you were director of the Department of Water Resources?
I do not remember it specifically.
But you have no reason to believe that they didn't exist at that time with respect to administrative rules regarding how those plans would be developed?
No, if you tell me they would existed, I would accept they existed.
And if those same rules identified similar language to what you just read from the statute, if those rules were intended to govern how the water plans were to be developed, would you, as director of the Department of Water Resources, in the capacity that you would assist in the development of those rules, follow those rules?
Yes, certainly wouldn't violate them.
Your Honor, this would be an appropriate spot for me to stop with my questions. I have another page or so of questions.
We can either. How much time do you anticipate it take?
Between 15 and 45 minutes.
Okay.
All depends on the answers, Your Honor.
Well, let's take the lunch recess then. Let's reconvene at so you can get organized at 1:15 and proceed then.
Thank you.
Plus or minus 45 minutes.